Hello and welcome to the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
And this is Tank.
Craig, it's good to see you, buddy.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's good to be back this week. And I know, like, Ben's not here, so I just have to say this. Derek, I totally understand what you were talking about now with baby poop. that black stuff is really hard to clean off. And now that we're into the mustardy yellow consistency, it's so much easier. Life is just a dream.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I can't wait till Ben gets to experience it too.
But yeah. Anyway. Yep.
Yeah, it's good to be back. And my baby's doing very well. And so is my wife. So, that's good.
That's excellent to hear. It's excellent to hear. And we have a birthday in the family. Happy birthday, yep. Tank.
Thank you.
Yay. Yep.
2 days ago was my birthday. That was fun. Went to played miniature golf with my family and lost. So that was good.
Happy
but
birthday
then we
to you.
Then we did with a couple of our friends. Have you heard of those escape rooms where you get locked in a room for an hour and you have to escape?
Yes.
We did that. That was my surprise party from Michelle. And we did that and we escaped with 15 minutes to spare.
Nice.
So that was exciting.
Nice.
Yep.
So you didn't get your money's worth then.
Yeah, that's true. Although if you escape, it's Key Quest and there's also a Laser Quest attached to it. So we escaped and got a free game of Laser Quest. So
Ooh. That's
fair. Yeah.
Oh,
nice. Nice.
Yeah. And that's not the only place I've escaped from today or this week. Today was my last day at work.
Oh, so, really?
Oh, nice.
Yep. Been there for a while. Went around door to door saying goodbye. And
yeah.
They bought my lunch and got me a gift and all sorts
of
stuff.
Oh, that's sweet.
It was really nice. But, yeah.
That's sweet. Cool. So when do you officially start doing things to head out to Japan?
In about 3 weeks from Sunday,
okay,
we'll be driving to Virginia.
Okay.
And that's where we'll be getting training. And then October 1st, we'll be flying to Japan.
Awesome.
And since it's past the international dateline, will I lose a day or gain a day?
Boy, I don't know.
Going west? I don't know. Either.
I don't know, but you're coming over to my side of the world, which is a good thing.
Yep. In any case, it may take like 2 days to get there because of the international dateline, or it may take like half a day because of the international dateline.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm back from Colorado. I was there for training at work, which was a lot of fun. And it is gorgeous out there. I had no idea what mountains were until like I saw them. And man, just the most beautiful thing ever. We drove from Denver to a little place called Paonia, which is like a five and a half hour drive or something like that. And we got to drive up through the mountains, like up close to the snow-capped peaks. And then we drove down through the mountains in like a little canyon and, it made my heart so happy.
That's awesome.
You don't get mountains like that in Pennsylvania. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'd imagine not.
Mm.
I imagine you partook in other cultures, other Colorado finities.
Yes. Paonia is...
You know what I'm getting at.
No.
There we go.
No, my wife wouldn't let me. No. Yeah. No, I would have had nowhere to look for... I would have had no idea where to even look for pot or anything like that. That didn't happen. It was a work trip, so I couldn't really doesn't really work like that, but
my coworker found an interesting thing in my handbook. It says you can't do any illegal drugs at work, and it said you could like drink alcohol as long as it didn't affect your performance or anything, so you could have minimal alcohol.
Man, that's awesome.
And then it had like one other rule about something else. I can't remember, just maybe prescription drugs. And so basically because of that, because in Colorado, which we have people who work in Colorado, because marijuana is no longer an illegal drug, they technically, based on the handbook, can treat marijuana like coffee. Like you can drink as much as you want, as long as it doesn't affect your performance. So.
who gets to judge whether it's affecting your performance, I guess is the question.
Yeah, that's a good question. But anyway, like, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, figure that out yourself, or do you have to wait till your boss comes and works out that you're stoned and you're not getting anything done?
Well, the people who work in Colorado work from home, so.
Wow.
as long as they get some work done and don't make any communication on Slack, then it'd be all right.
This is Tech You Should Know, the part of the show where we bring you 7 tech news stories from throughout the past week that we feel are worth your consideration. The Steam Summer Sale is afoot, which I'm sure is a cause for both anxiety and relief for many gamers out there. There are, of course, a debilitating number of games on sale for insane prices, so if you have a small budget of $20 to spend, you'll have to really narrow down which 40 games you want to get. However, if you're into the VR thing, it appears there are now some good deals on solid VR titles, according to Ars Technica. And they have the names of a few good ones posted over there if you just got your gaming rig set up and are wondering what to play. So that's definitely an excellent resource for if you're delving into VR now for the first time.
Yep, I don't think they have any deals on their Vive, so the actual machine, but they've got some deals on their hardware, like the Steam controller's 30% off, and I think the Steam Link as well.
Okay.
But the number of games that are on sale is 12,997.
So. That is just... Oh, man. collect them all. Gotta catch them all.
like a very expensive Pokemon.
Right, exactly. So in an interesting act of transparency this week, when Apple released the iOS 10 beta to developers after its WWDC conference, it was discovered that they released the kernel as unencrypted. To be clear, this doesn't mean that the data that you put inside this version of iOS 10 is unencrypted and therefore hackable, but rather that the kernel itself is unencrypted, which is responsible for things like security and how apps interact with device hardware. The reason Apple did this is simply so that people can look for flaws in the kernel so that Apple can patch them faster, with the goal being to increase security and performance in the new iOS. That's just a move you'd never see from Apple, 6 years ago.
So they left it unencrypted to increase security?
Yeah, so that people can actually look and see what's inside so they can see easier, okay, here would be a flaw in the system, and so that... they would have more reputable people coming forward with, okay, here's a vulnerability that I'm seeing, instead of having people discover vulnerabilities secretly and hanging on to them. You know, like what happened with the San Bernardino hack this past year with the FBI finding someone, like a third party, to hack into the iPhone. They're trying to tone down those, they're trying to find those vulnerabilities and squash them, basically, is my theory.
Huh. There's often like a bug bounty program. So they will pay you for finding those hacks. So that'll make people it'll give people an incentive to look for them and report them, as opposed to just saying, here, it's open. Please find them for us. And nobody cares.
CRISPR, our favorite gene editing tool that we've talked about on the show before, has just been okayed for clinical trials. A federal biosafety and ethics panel gave researchers from the University of Pennsylvania the go-ahead to conduct research on human patients, though there are still some hoops they need to jump through. The proposed study in question would focus on attacking 3 types of inherited cancer with up to 15 subjects. So it is marching on. We'll see what comes of that. Tumblr is getting into the live video streaming thing, though not really the way you'd think. Earlier this week, they released the ability to essentially embed live video in your Tumblr posts from a handful of apps, such as YouNow, Canvas, Unclose, and YouTube, who incidentally just released the ability to live stream via their app this week as well. Basically, just start a stream in any of those services, and then look for Tumblr in the sharing options, and you're good to go. Twitter's released the official Twitter app for the 1%. The app called Engage is centered around what Twitter calls popular creators, aiming to help them interact with their fans and grow and retain an audience. It offers analytics on tweets, videos, GIFs, or whatever else you post, and lets you see what your fans thought was the bomb diggity and everything that bombed with your fans. So if you have 500,000 followers, you too can get info from this app that isn't boring. It's really boring for me.
So hang on, it's just like DeviantArt, but made by Twitter or something? Is that the idea?
No, it's more just like the analytics that Facebook provides for their Facebook pages and stuff.
Yeah.
It's basically analytics on steroids.
Analytics for Twitter.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Not a separate app altogether. The separate app is just for the analytics. Okay.
Yeah, right. I see exactly. What
you're saying. I thought Twitter had built like a different version of like a Twitter feed, but for artists and creators.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense. Cool.
Tesla seems to want to move away from being just a car company. It's put on an offer on one of Elon Musk's other companies, SolarCity, which specializes in installing solar panels. Tesla's goal is to be the world's only vertically integrated energy company, providing you with a car independent of fossil fuels and providing you with a house powered by solar panels and Tesla's Powerwall. But SolarCity at this point is also losing a lot of money, which makes it a very convenient time for Tesla to acquire it. So there's that. And Elon Musk continues in his quest to rule the world.
Rule the simulated world.
Yeah, right, the simulated world. Finally this week, there's been some controversy in this soap opera we call the internet about Apple's rumored removal of the headphone jack from the rumored upcoming iPhone 7. Nilay Patel posted a rant on The Verge earlier this week against it, citing 6 reasons why removing the headphone jack from the phone is stupid. John Gruber of Daring Fireball retorted by kind of defending the potential change. Ars Technica ran a thing responding to Gruber, and the Macalope at Macworld came bounding in making fun of people. And it's been a fun week. There were likely others in there talking about things as well, but those were the ones I saw. And they're worth reading. Everyone brings up good points about stuff. And seeing as this will probably be the next major move away from I/O in the fairly near future, even if Apple doesn't bring it out with the next iPhone, it's kind of good to see the history behind, you know, what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are your guys' thoughts on the rumored removal of the headphone jack?
Yeah, I wouldn't be a fan. I wouldn't be keen on that.
I wouldn't miss it too much. I don't use it, but obviously I don't use the iPhone, but
right.
If Android were to do it, I use Bluetooth headphones entirely anyway, but I know that there's a lot of really good headphones out there that use a wire, so.
Yeah, yeah. I've really gotten
like a strange move.
I have Bluetooth headphones now too, which I've really become a fan of because I don't have a crazy wire to deal with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I see people's.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I see people's point about, you know, not everyone wants to be tethered to a battery, so to speak. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what. I'm sorry, my daughter's in the room.
It's all right.
It'll be interesting to see how this all goes down if Apple ends up pulling it. But anyway, that's all the tech you should know this week. If we left something out you think we should have considered, feel free to email us at ask@techreformation.com. Now, I've been saying for the past several weeks that for more tech you should know, you should follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation, which you should still follow us on Twitter. But it's a lot of work to put out those stories. So that may be, I may not be doing that much anymore, unless there's a major outcry.
Or unless one of the other hosts decides to do it on your behalf.
Yep. So, but anyway, that is for the moment suspended, but yeah, still feel free to interact with us on Twitter. We're still there. We're still hanging out. And now we're into Tech You Should Use, where we bring you a technology that we find fantastic, and we think you will find them fantastic as well. And this week, I'm going to be talking about Markdown. Have either of you guys used Markdown before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do a bit. Yep.
All right. So you both are familiar with what it is. So Markdown mm-hmm. is essentially, it's supposed to be a format for writing on the internet. Similar to HTML, except HTML would be much more comprehensive as far as styling things on the web in your blog post. But Markdown is intended to be easy to read and easy to type and edit. So if you wanted to bold something in your blog post, you would put two asterisks in front of it and behind and after it, instead of doing a clumsy bold tag or something like that. Same for many other things, like with block quotes or creating new paragraphs or italics, bulleted lists, that kind of thing. Even making links is much nicer and easier to read in Markdown than it is in HTML. And it's what I use for show notes all the time. It makes it really easy to type everything out in plain text. And most websites accept it as a writing format, which makes it really easy to just, you know, plop it right in there. And like WordPress has support for it too. Like I'm pretty sure it's built into WordPress. And if not, you can definitely get an extension for it. What are some applications that you guys use or have used Markdown for?
I've used it for my blog. What it is a static site generator. So I host the entire blog on GitHub and just have static HTML pages that GitHub is then able to show. And so I use a generator because I don't create a new HTML page every time I write a new blog post. I just create a new Markdown file. Mm-hmm. And then you run the generator on the command line, and it will turn that Markdown file into an HTML file, which is what you then push up to GitHub to get shown. Mm-hmm. So as Derek said, it's much cleaner looking than if I had to write HTML every time I wanted to write a blog post. So that's my main application for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Slack is Markdown-like. It's definitely not Markdown.
Yeah,
it's that concept.
It's weird because I have Markdown habits that I try to use with Slack, and then sometimes they don't work. I'm like, oh no, what is my life?
Yeah, I had the opposite problem where I would write my blog posts in Slack Markdown. And then, why did this go italics instead of, or why is this italicized instead of bold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Markdown is nice because you can write everything in plain text. And for those of you who don't know what that means like usually when you're writing in, like Word or Pages or like some sort of document editor, you're writing in rich text, which would have all the bold and italics and everything, you know, right there. But sometimes you get weird inconsistencies with that on when you post it into a blog post or something. Like you'll get some weird HTML artifacts if you paste direct, you know, bold or direct rich text from a Word editor to a web page. So it's a really nice way to just keep everything in plain text and, well, you know, have it readable, but have it also translate very easily into rich text when you need it to. There's lots of websites out there that will do that conversion for you. The person this actually originated from was John Gruber of Daring Fireball, and I'll post the link to the website down in the show notes where, you know, he has all the syntax labeled out and gives you examples of how everything works. It's really great. It takes a little bit to get into it, obviously, but it's fairly easy, and I think it's totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. I think the only one pitfall, and it's minor, is definitely be sure to skim over your blog post or whatever after you use it, because sometimes, for instance, if you do a bold tag, you may forget to end with the two asterisks. And so everything's bolded all the way to your next bold tag.
Oh, yeah.
That
yep.
makes sense.
Yep.
And so sometimes I've actually gotten through, I published a blog post that I just didn't notice a whole paragraph was bolded because I forgot two bold tags back to back and it just kind of like bolded a paragraph. And then later on, I was like, why is this entire thing bolded? But of course, you could run into that with HTML tags too. That's probably more error prone. Trying to write HTML. So,
mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I always go to the markdown, dingus thingy on Daring Fireball that does conversions just before I post something to make sure that I didn't, you know, tag anything wrong, but
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always a good idea. And that's all for Tech You Should Use this week. Tech Reformation this week is sponsored by Olive Tree, the Bible study app. And there's actually some pretty big news with Olive Tree this week. They have released a new Mac app. They've updated it. They've made the design a little nicer. They've brought all the features up to parity with all their mobile apps on iOS and Android. Now everything should display as it should. If you've got like a nice study Bible that has all those inline notes, you know, those should all display exactly as they should. Everything that you see on the mobile apps, you can now interact with perfectly on the new Mac Bible study app. And especially a lot of the new books that they have added to their new platform, you weren't able to use on the old app, but now I've got a couple of those books. Now I can read them on my Mac. I can make the text however big I want, you know, read it however my heart enjoys. So I'm really enjoying the new Mac app for Olive Tree. I think you will too. If you would like to download it, go right to olivetree.com. It is free to get started. You'll get a couple of resources along with it. If you decide to buy anything, any extra resources on Olive Tree, you can use our coupon code TRP16, and that will save you 20% off of any purchase that you make on Olive Tree that isn't already marked off. Thank you to Olive Tree for sponsoring this episode of Tech Reformation.
Hey everyone, this is Dave Seid from the podcast Spurgeon Audio. If you're like me, you're someone who's been inspired by the work of so many great men of God who spent their lives pouring out their heart's desires for their listeners and readers to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In this podcast, we take that love and turn it into an exploration of the sermons of Charles Spurgeon, as well as discuss the issues of the day, talk with guests, and listen to music made to rejoice in the goodness of God's glorious grace. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and your favorite podcast catcher, and of course, here on the Theology Mix Podcast Network. Join us as we podcast the Prince of Preachers to the glory of God.
And now it's time for Theology from the Headlines, and this week we are talking about space. Sort of follows on.
Gotta go to space.
Yeah, that's right. SpaceX, actually.
Oh.
It's one of those funky, you know, brand names, I think, where they don't have any spaces in the name apart from the word space, and then it has a big capital letter at the end. Yeah. And that was a really boring description of how to write SpaceX. But basically, this is a little bit of a follow-on from a couple of weeks ago when the guys talked about an article that Elon Musk or a video that Elon Musk was in where they were talking about whether or not it was possible that we all might be in a simulation instead of actually being in a real world that's actually happening. And so, this follows on from that a little bit because Elon Musk is involved with SpaceX. So, I'll just read a little bit from an article from The Verge just to give you a bit of an idea of what SpaceX is on about and what they're up to. It says that SpaceX plans to send its Dragon spacecraft to Mars as early as 2018. So for people playing at home, this is 2016. That's a couple of years away.
Wow. Yeah.
The company announced today, marking a major first step towards CEO Elon Musk's goal of sending humans to the red planet. The company didn't say how many spacecraft it will send, but hinted it would conduct a series of these Dragon missions and that it would release more details soon. In a tweet, the company indicated that the capsules would fly on SpaceX's Falcon Heavy rocket, a bigger version of its Falcon 9. The rocket will launch the capsules to the planet to test out how to land heavy payloads on Mars. If successful, the endeavor would make SpaceX the first private spaceflight company to land a vehicle on another planet. And then if I skip down a couple of paragraphs, it basically says, these Red Dragon missions will be an important precursor to SpaceX's long-term goal of setting up a Martian colony. Any human missions to Mars will require sending tons of equipment first, so the people there who are the colonists will have all the supplies they need to keep them alive. So, in other words, to summarize, Elon Musk, CEO of SpaceX, they are planning to send things to Mars and essentially to be able to send people to Mars and build a colony there. I don't know about you guys, but I saw the movie The Martian with Matt Damon a little while ago, and it doesn't look like a very exciting prospect to go and try and live on Mars to me. But that's not really what I want to talk about in terms of whether or not it would be a good life. There's basically three points that I want to hit on this, because space travel, space exploration has been around for quite a while, obviously. And there's always been a few things that I've kind of wrestled with in terms of worldview, what I think about it. I think it's pretty cool and it's pretty exciting, but then I sort of look at it from a couple of different angles that make me question, I guess, the motivations behind it and things like that. So, the first thing is the Tower of Babel. Or Babel. You guys obviously would know this story. Basically, Genesis 11, people migrating from the east settled together and then decided they wanted to make a tower with its top in the heavens. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they'll have one language. This is only the beginning of what they'll do. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they may not understand one another. So what do you guys think about space in relation to this Old Testament, issue? Is this kind of thing that we're doing as humanity trying to reach other planets and colonize them? Is that the same kind of thing as Babel? What do you think about the motivation?
I'd say it depends on, it can be a person-by-person basis. I think there's people who are legitimately afraid of humanity's longevity, I guess, that they see the Earth will eventually be used up no matter what we want, no matter what we do. And so they see it as we need to begin trying to figure out how we can make these other planets habitable if we want our species to survive. So obviously still not a Christian worldview perspective, but I don't think it's necessarily, at least not everybody isn't coming at it as a, what I guess the Babel, Tower of Babel would be more of a prideful motivation of we want to make our name great. I'm sure there's definitely some of that as well, but that's an issue with every human. So,
yeah, that's true. What do you think, Derek?
I've heard a lot of things. I've heard a lot of people talk about different reasons why the Tower of Babel was important and why it was there. Of course, there's the shaking their fist at God, saying, "You know, we can be equal to God." But yeah, and let us make a name for ourselves. Let's be, you know, that's kind of straight out of the Bible. But we also have. It connects with the New Testament in a very interesting way. Namely, so here all the tongues were scattered, right? And there were many created. They couldn't communicate with each other. This was the outcome of sin. And now in the New Testament in Acts, come Pentecost, you have people speaking in many tongues and everyone understanding each other, which is sort of a fulfillment of what happened back then. Now, because of Christ's death at Pentecost, everyone was able to communicate with each other and spread the good news and glorify God instead of glorifying themselves. So that would be my take on the passage, the significance of it. Who knows if it's something that can happen again. I mean, I'm not sure how I would figure that out. But clearly, God still judges nations for pride and sins against him. So it's possible that in our excitement to get to, you know, the far reaches of space, if we're doing it pridefully, you know, God has been known to thwart, you know, man's plans before. So,
yeah, I think you're right. I think the Pentecost thing, to me, I understand that as kind of because Jesus had died and risen again. That's kind of the unlocking of languages, I guess, or the, you know, the reversal of the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
At that point is kind of pointing forward to the restoration of all things and the renewal of the earth and peace among people and peace with God and things like that. So, but obviously, as you said, sin can still be present, and the sin of pride didn't disappear at Pentecost. So, I also agree with what Tank said. I'm sure a lot of people who are really big on spending lots of money to go and explore space, at its core, they have fairly good motivations in terms of wanting to work out if there's other things that could benefit humans out there, if we could, you know, if the planet is going, in their opinion, is going to end badly. They're trying to sort of help save people or whatever, save humanity. That sort of motivation, although misguided from a Christian worldview perspective of what's going to happen with the Earth, may not be a problem. But I guess what happens is there's a tendency to say no matter what the core motivation starts as, it ends up being a race, you know, the whole space race thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, maybe that's where it becomes a bit more prideful.
Mm-hmm.
So motivation-wise, I think that's one thing that I find interesting about this topic and I'm sort of keen to, I guess, just keep an eye on from a bit of a distance and work out as humanity is are the companies that are involved in this kind of thing involved in it for good reasons, or are they involved in it for selfish reasons? Something to be aware of, I guess, as we hear people talking more and more about these sorts of things. I guess the next question I have was, we've talked about, do you guys remember the CRISPR episode?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yep.
I think it was the CRISPR episode that someone, or it might've been one just after that. Someone brought up the Dominion mandate. And I don't think it was that episode. Anyway,
we've talked before
about the Dominion mandate. I remember, yeah. And the idea there being that in, you know, in Genesis 1, 28, God says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over creation, basically. What do you guys think? Like, is this, I guess my second question is, how does this relate to the Dominion mandate? Is this going outside in exploring space and trying to colonize other planets and to go beyond the world that God originally put us in? Is that overstepping the bounds of what we were told to do and the things that we were told are supposed to be under our feet in terms of the Dominion mandate and how that works? What do you guys think about that?
So, I guess it depends on what is meant in the, you know, everyone is that man has dominion over the earth, like those passages in the Bible. I don't think it means for us to completely disregard everything outside this little globe that we're on. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Mars is not, if we're not supposed to, you know, leave the Earth or go to Mars or whatever, like, should we not even be paying attention to the stars around us, the solar system that we have? I'd make the argument that science is nothing more than exploring God's creation and seeing what is out there, you know, what God has made for us to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can enjoy and glorify God on Mars, that's perfectly good aspiration to have. I mean, granted, all companies are not going to do that, but a lot of scientists also aren't in it for the glory of God either. God's still glorified through it.
Yeah, two things I think about that is that, I mean, I agree. I think that we should explore space. So we should have some idea of what's out there and whatever. And I think if that causes us to marvel at God's creation, then that's a good thing and that's not sinful. In terms of colonizing another planet, I think that's where it gets a bit hazy for me because I see the Earth as being created the way that it was for a purpose. And for that purpose, large part of it being to sustain human life, and Mars mm-hmm. is pretty much a desert. So, you know, the idea that we need think that we are capable of going to another planet, living there, and also setting up somewhere where we can enjoy, you know, living in a place that humans were never really supposed to or designed to live, I think is where. Mm-hmm. I kind of go, maybe that's crossing a Dominion mandate boundary that I don't think it means that we can't have any idea of what's out there and look at telescopes and send people to the moon and back and just go, you know, wow, we've landed on the moon and we've seen more than we've seen before and things like that. But I do sort of get uneasy from a Christian worldview perspective when people start talking about colonizing other planets and setting, it's almost like we're wanting to set up for ourselves an existence. Because this one's not good enough for us anymore or something like that. I have a bit of a problem with that from, I don't see it anywhere in the Bible where it would, you know, we're sort of commanded to go and, colonize other planets, but I guess maybe people might be able to make an argument for that somewhere.
At the same time, I think that people could easily make that argument for traveling to the moon or even escaping the gravity of the Earth and orbiting, you know, high up, you know, you're trying to, audaciously leave the planet, even for however long it is until, you know, that God has created you, has placed you on, you know, is that going against the Dominion mandate? I'm just not sure that the Dominion mandate, equals a prohibitive, a prohibition against exploring other planets. It seems to me that doesn't necessarily follow.
So are you of the opinion that anything that's not prohibited is okay? Are you normative on most things? I hate using words, but
I'm not a regulative principle guy. That's for sure.
But that's a worship thing, so we shouldn't really go there because it'll just confuse.
Yeah, exactly. We're starting to cross the streams here.
Anyway, okay, that's interesting. Tank, what are your thoughts on the same question?
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat with Derek. I have a hard time seeing the issue with it. Admittedly, one could say we have so much more we could use that money for. or that time for, and that's, I think that's, say, I think that, I know. Anyway, I know somebody who that's their biggest problem with it for sure.
Yeah.
Is like, if a Christian wanted to go to Mars on this trip, is that really the best way to benefit the kingdom? But I think Derek also makes a good point with the concept of like leaving space, I bet when they flew to the moon, they didn't really have, well, maybe they did, but I bet when we first were trying to get out of the atmosphere, we never imagined satellite TV, you know, and so it's hard to understand the benefits of ways we can subdue the Earth better until, so like right now we see going to Mars, how is that ever going to benefit the kingdom? But maybe long term, it could have impacts for Earth that would, allow the gospel to spread in a new way. And so I don't see it being outside of the Dominion mandate.
Okay. I think that, yeah, if that's possible and if that were to happen, then I think that would be a great outcome.
Would you, I know this would be hard because, well, no. Would you say that like the rest of the universe was created perhaps just to show who God is and how big he is? Or like, what would you say the rest of it was created for, if not for humans potentially to go explore it someday?
I think if that was to be the case, that somehow going to another planet could benefit the kingdom down the track in some way that we don't know about, then that would obviously be positive. To me, it's just more about the colonizing thing. Like colonizing another planet seems like something that, I don't know, God probably would have mentioned that when he was setting up the earth. You know, I've created this earth for you. I've created a paradise for you to live in. If you stuff it up one day, there's Mars as a backup plan. But maybe that's not a big deal. The other thing that you mentioned in your answer was one of the things that I was the last thing that I wanted to talk about, I guess. And I think it would be really good to get your opinion again, Tank, on the other thing that I've heard lots of criticism from Christians about space travel is, and I think for me, it's like one of those things where I hear guys like Apologia, who are obviously post-mill, but they're talking about the world getting better and those kinds of things, like very sort of optimistic view, which I like, although I'd probably sit more in the Armil camp. So I kind of listened to that, but then I listened to a lot of people saying, why would we spend money on this kind of, you know, on space travel and space exploration and setting up other planets for people to live on when there's already heaps of homeless people and people who haven't heard the gospel who we need to reach with resources and time and missionaries and things like that on Earth. So on the one hand, there's Christians saying we should be doing business and we should be creating things. We should be exploring new frontiers and pushing the boundaries in every area. And then there's an also strong argument for people to say, well, hang on, let's clean up our own front yard before we get too worried about elsewhere. So what do you think about that from an almost missionary's perspective in terms of the money and the resources that go into this kind of thing to pull it off?
Mm-hmm. I think as far as if a person is a Christian businessman and they have all this money and resources and they think maybe I should start a organization that goes to Mars, I would lean toward that's probably not your calling. Obviously, I have no idea, and that's between you and Jesus. But the simple answer, at least the way I view it, would be like the vast, vast majority of us aren't. And probably, I mean, I don't really know any Christians that have that much money. I could be completely wrong. I don't know all the rich people in the world, like the insanely rich people in the world. I mean, so more my view of it is if SpaceX is going to send colonies to Mars, then we better send Christians with them. And they're trapped on a foreign planet with Christians. That's probably the best place for them to be. So, I think if we end up going there, then Christians have no excuse but to go with them. And it reminds me of that story of the Moravians. There's two men who they're trying really hard to get into this slave colony. It's like an island or a place that's filled with slaves, and the owner won't let anybody in. And the Moravians try, but they can't get in there. So finally two men say, all right, we will go and be your slaves. If you will have us, we'll give up our rights and just be your slave. And they did that so they would have the opportunity to share the gospel with the slaves there. And as they got on the boat, they yelled back to the people waiting on the shoreline, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive the rewards of his suffering." So if you've ever heard that line, that's where it came from, supposedly. And so anyway, I think it's a similar situation. You know, if people go to Mars, Christians should go with.
Yep. So. Have an influence anywhere that people are for the gospel, which is great. I agree. And I think the Christian businessman example is a good one. I always think about that passage in Acts. You know, I look at the early church and go, wow, in so many ways, the early church functions so differently to the modern day church, or at least a lot of evangelicalism. And obviously, things were different in terms of context. You know, it was a struggling community in a very sort of, you know, they had a fair bit of persecution and stuff they were dealing with, which a lot of us don't these days. But in Acts 4, when it talks about the, you know, the fact that people were, there wasn't a needy person among them because people who owned land or houses or basically the wealthy people came and brought stuff to the apostles and they distributed it to everyone. And that was a voluntary thing. It wasn't like they weren't forced to do that by a government or anything, but just the idea of Christians using their resources to benefit other people directly, I think is something that we can aspire to. But certainly, like you said, if the secular world is going to push out into these new areas, then it would be silly for Christians to stick their head under a box and pretend it's not happening, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think, like, maybe another category we didn't touch on is a Christian who has the potential to work for one of these companies.
Yep.
Which I think is also, I would have no reason against that, using your skills to help mankind go to Mars and glorifying God with the skills that he gave you and sharing the gospel in the workplace just as anywhere else. I wouldn't see any reason to boycott supporting that mission with skills.
Do you think it will be possible to colonize Mars? Do you think it would be possible for people to live on Mars long term? Like, I'm talking about more than just like go for a year and come back. I'm talking about like to go there and live for 20, 30 years.
I would say, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I believe it's possible.
All right. Because I think at this point,
obviously, I have done zero research except for watch the Martians.
Because I think at this point, people are trying to sign up to be some of the first people to go and things like that. And I always just wonder, like, if it doesn't work out, are we just sending people to their death or, to a place of no return? And is that, I don't know, like, as a person who's working for one of these companies, when we're so unsure about the outcome, I don't know. Whether or not that would sort of, I think that would sort of play on my mind as a worker. But I think if they can figure out a lot of that stuff, a lot of the, I guess, the stepping stones that they would need to actually make it viable, then that would probably alleviate that concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Did you have any other thoughts before we wrap it up? Or
One question I was interested in seeing your thoughts on is, based off the second question, you responded that, like, God created the earth and it was all good. And why would he create something if we weren't meant to stay here? And why would he make Mars as why would we have Mars as like a backup plan in case we mess it all up? Said something along those lines. I hope I represented that fairly. And so I was just interested in hearing your response to why do you think God did create, the entire universe?
I think for the same reason that Derek said we shouldn't not explore space, which is a double negative. We should explore space. I agree. But the reason that I agree with that is because, I definitely see value in, people seeing the demonstrated glory of God, beyond just what we see every day. So we see sky, we see trees, we see mountains, we see oceans, we see amazing things on this earth that are beautiful and incredibly complex in terms of, you know, the creatures that live in them and in this creation that we exist in. But I think often we take it for granted, not even intentionally, just because we're confronted with it every single day. So when we see things like crazy, you know, nebulae or surfaces of other planets with different atmospheres and things and all the, like, the colors and the scale of things, and realize our place in that and the fact that God still loves us and cares for us and set up this planet and sustains this planet. Because let's be honest, every single, we believe as Christians that every single breath that we have is because God ordains it. And so The fact that that all exists and that that is going on and that God holds all that in the palm of his hand, as well as all of the peripheral stuff, which is also incredible, just expands our sense of the glory of God and who he is, and his creative power, and his sovereign power in general. So I think there's definite benefits there. I don't think any Christian should argue with that or should be able to argue with that. Cool. Yeah, it's just for me, like the real hinge point is just the colonizing thing. That's where I still have a bit of a question mark. And I think you guys have had some good thoughts on that. I'd be interested to hear maybe once Ben's back, whether he has a follow-up comment or two about any of that. But I think no matter which way you go on that issue, I think the amazing thing is that God has, on the one hand, God has created people with intellect and creativity and drive to achieve things that aren't always the easy thing. And so there are people who are putting time and energy into figuring out some pretty complex things and sending things to different planets and whatever. And that in itself is pretty cool. But whether or not you think there's good motivations or we should be spending the money on that, or we should be spending the money on other things. I guess, the other thing to come back to is the fact that, as we just talked about, the God that we serve and the God that we worship is God of not just this planet, but all the planets and all the stuff that's out there beyond the planets that we even know about. So at the end of the day, it's all under his control, and no planets that aren't meant to be colonized will be colonized without him knowing about it or saying so, basically. There's definite, we can, at the end of the day, we can come back to that, and that's probably a good place to land. Have you got any records this week, Tank?
Yeah, so a while back ago, I told a story of my trip to the Voice of the Martyrs headquarters in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And I think I mentioned then that Voice of the Martyrs has a podcast, but I had yet to listen to it. So this week I'm going to reco that podcast. It's at VOM Radio. If you just Google that, you'll find it. And there's, of course, a link in the show notes. But this is, it's a fantastic podcast. And I'm not one to listen to very many podcasts. But it's like world news I really want to know. It's the world news that I've been wanting to hear. What's going on with Christians in the world? And it's just like, I've basically been living with my head in the sand as far as the persecuted church. Like, and until ISIS was known about it, it's like, yeah, I'm sure people are persecuted, but I don't really know about it. And then you start listening to this and hear stories from Iraq, from Iran, from North Korea, China. And you hear stories, they interview people, whether missionaries or locals, and they tell what's going on in that part of the country. And it's some crazy stuff, crazy because of what's happening to them. Like in Iraq, a couple went to a wedding and came back and found that their house was taken over. And now they're like trapped in their wedding clothes walking around. And they talked to people in North Korea, and apparently they described the Holocaust to these North Koreans, and they said, it's worse over here.
Far out.
And so, like, crazy stuff is happening, but crazy awesome stuff is happening, too. We get to hear, on the podcast, they share stories of just the faith of those people. And, like, one story in Iran was... The police were trying to find this Bible distribution network because all these people were getting saved, and they felt like this network was going around distributing Bibles. And if they could cut that off at the source, then less people would get saved. And so they found these two girls that were passing it out, like, oh, we'll bring these in. Surely they will be able to point us to the leaders of the Bible distribution network. Well, it turns out that those two girls were the Bible distribution network of Iran. They would just, everywhere they would go, trains, work, parks, they would just pass out Bibles and talk about Jesus. And the government thought they were an entire network of people. So it's been really good. They're about 30-minute episodes, and each one's of a different country. Highly, highly recommend it.
Cool.
So I am on the Hamilton train now. I know I'm a little bit late, but Hamilton the musical is a lot of fun. I've now subscribed to Apple Music for like the first, you know, 3 free months. We'll see how it goes after that. But I've listened to Hamilton like 3 times now, and it's really good. So definitely worth checking it out.
Cool. I've the most random reco I've ever done this week, I think. My parents always joke that they stopped listening to music in the 80s and they never really started again because that's when they had kids and they didn't have time anymore to be interested in music. I do remember actually being a kid and my dad, who's not really a singer, but he's a good preacher. he used to, anyway, sing lullabies to us when I was very young, to me and my sisters. And I remember him singing this one song, which I've been using a little bit with Asher just when he won't settle. And it actually works. The other night, he's not up to the stage yet where he smiles on command or anything. Like, he won't smile, you know, normally to react to something. He just kind of smiles when he wants to smile. He's not quite up to the point yet where he smiles because of what's happening often. But the other night I was singing it to him, and every time I got back to the chorus, he would smile at the same point. So that was pretty cool. It's a song called Morningtown Ride by The Seekers. Yeah, I told you it was old. But yeah, as far as lullabies go, it's a pretty cool song. It's not Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. There's a bit more of a story to it. So if you have a child and that child is not so great on the sleeping side of things, YouTube it, download it on your phone, or just learn how to sing it yourself and give it a shot.
If you want to contact us, you can connect with us in our Slack team. If you want to join that, go to slack.techreformation.com. Follow the little instructions, put in your email, etc., etc., and you're in. We talk all sorts of fun things in there, including this week, the party parrot is going on.
And there's a bunch of other channels for other podcasts too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So Calvinist Batman, The Rugged Marriage, Helvetic, a podcast. There might be another one that I've forgotten. I think those are the main ones at the moment.
Yep.
And there's episode discussion for us as well. So if you want to jump in there, and we've got a whole bunch of other channels too. So there'll be something for everyone, I'm sure.
Yep. And if there's a channel that you really want, you know, ask us and we'll probably add it for you. You can also follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation or on Facebook. And just search for us on Facebook.
And you can visit our website, techreformation.com, to search for past shows and topics. You can use the tags to find some topics that we've talked about before.
Lastly, you can email us at ask@techreformation.com. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever. We'd love to hear it.
We're a part of the Theology Mix Network. You can check out the website and the iTunes feed in the show notes. Feel free to review us on iTunes. Recommend us on Overcast by swiping left and hitting that star on the episode in particular that you are recommending. And yeah, this has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
I don't know what just happened, but I think I'm alone. I can see you both, and you're both smiling at me, but you're not moving. It's really creepy, actually. Oh, well. I guess I'll do the rest of the show. Hello and well... How does Ben do this? Animation. Well, the world of techno... It doesn't sound as good without an American accent. What about this? It's the Reformed Pubcast. Guys, probably shouldn't rip off their podcast either. I guess I'll just have to fix it. Oh, now Skype's wanting to know about the quality of my call. Well, problems were so bad the call was impossible. Yep. Tick that box. Oh, dear. Please, Skype, improve your app. Thank you. Signed, the Tech Reformation Podcast.